Duke University professor Alex Rowland worked for 8 years as a historian with the National Aeronautics and Space Administration. He is also a critic of the shuttle program. An article he wrote for Discover magazine outlining his concerns was published just before the Challenger explosion in 1986. Afterward, he predicted that the shuttle program would get into trouble again. He joins us now by phone from his home. Good morning, Professor.
Good morning.
And NPR's Joe Palca also joins us in the studio. Thank you for coming back, Joe.
You're welcome.
Professor Rowland, let me ask you, are you opposed to the concept of manned spaceflight, the concept, or are your concerns more specific to the shuttle program?
My concerns are entirely about the shuttle program. In other words, I think it's inevitable that we will send people into space. We'll probably send them there permanently one day. The shuttle is simply not the launch vehicle we should be using.
Why not?
It was a good idea when it was first proposed. The belief was that expendable launch vehicles were too expensive because we were throwing away the rocket every time, and wouldn't we save money if we had a reusable vehicle? It turned out not to be true. The shuttle is actually more expensive to use than the expendable vehicles it replaced. And because of that, the whole economic model of how manned spaceflight will work with the shuttle has turned out to be flawed.
Joe?
Professor Rowland, is there any reason to think that it was possible initially to design a shuttle-like system that was reusable? I know that some of the original plans that NASA had was to have something that was truly one piece to orbit. Would that have solved the problems that we're seeing?
We just can't know. In other words, I don't fault NASA for the attempt. I think the shuttle was a good idea, and what none of us appreciated at the time was the enormous wear and tear on the vehicle, both during launch and reentry. And the result is it takes an enormous amount of time and effort to refurbish each spacecraft after their trips, and that's where the added cost comes in. If we were using a less stressful launch, then we might not have this problem, but we can't really know that.
But aren't you also faced at this point with the sort of the, there's not really an option? I mean, certainly there's not an option for the next 5 years.
That is exactly right, and this is entirely NASA's fault. The Rogers Commission and all the other boards that investigated the Challenger accident told NASA two things. First of all, do not rely upon the shuttle. It is a fragile and expensive launch vehicle that's too complex to be the mainstay of our launch vehicle stable. And secondly, begin immediately to design and develop a replacement launch vehicle. And here we are 16 years later. They're massively dependent on the shuttle, and there's no replacement vehicle in sight.
In your opinion, then, given that we do have this shuttle program, and that's what we have, what do you think is needed to make this program viable?
Oh, I don't think we can. I think we have to, again, do a full investigation as we did after Challenger, develop a workable launch schedule for the shuttle. In other words, give it more funding but have it fly less often, and invest our money in that replacement launch vehicle so that we have some long-term prospects that our space program will have the resources it needs.
How do you feel about the International Space Station?
We ought to close that up immediately and begin design plans to turn it into a space platform. That is, a research facility in space that we would visit periodically to maintain and rotate experiments, but not try to keep people on it indefinitely until we have this new, more practical, more reliable, and safer launch vehicle in place.
Professor Rowland, as you speak, I think, you know, I'm not sure that a lot of people in an academic world wouldn't agree with you, but I wonder in the practical world of Washington, the space station serves perhaps a function that goes beyond space research and into geopolitics. A few years ago when the Clinton administration was deciding what to do with this, they had to decide, yes, we're going to pursue this because we want the Russians to be spending their space expertise on something peaceful. So, and you said also earlier that the NASA, made a mistake, but they're under tremendous financial pressure from Congress, and they're being asked to do a lot and to cut back money. So is it fair to put all this blame on NASA?
NASA has been given a very generous budget for 30 years now. And, matter of fact, if you go back through the Apollo program, even before that, and the country's social contract with NASA was always the same. We will give you a very handsome budget. You must decide on what space program you can operate within it, and NASA has consistently decided to overspend that budget and to try and design a program that that budget can't sustain. And so this is a problem of their own making. If they had spent their money developing a reliable and practical launch vehicle instead of flying the shuttle around all the time, we wouldn't be in the mess we're in now.
One more question, Professor. Do you think the public might lose interest if all there is unmanned exploration?
There have been lots of unmanned missions that have captured the public imagination. That little rover that was going around the surface on Mars, we should have had a major Mars surface rover program 20 years ago. It was within our technological capability. The public would be fascinated by this. The real payoff we're getting from the space program is coming entirely from the unmanned facilities, not from the space station that the public is frankly bored with.
Alex Rowland is a professor of history at Duke University and served as a NASA historian for 8 years. He joined us from his home in Durham, North Carolina. Professor, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
And NPR's Joe Palca joined us in the studio once again. Thank you very much, Joe.
You're welcome, Leanne.